Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Three Guys Theologizing. My name is Kyle Borg, and I'm joined today with my normal co-hosts, Barry York and Scott Hunt. And we are glad that you have turned the dial, except that I don't think podcasts use dials, but I think the idiomatic expression still works. We are glad that you have turned the dial to tune in to this episode of Three Guys Theologizing, where we seek, whether we are fully successful or not, to bring every thought captive to Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, our episodes will focus on various topics, sometimes theological, explicitly theological topics and doctrines, sometimes practical ministry, and sometimes we try to engage a little bit of culture. And of course, anybody that is not an ostrich with their head in the sand know that there is a lot of culture to go around right now, a lot of things happening in our society. Not the least of which, at the time of this recording, and likely at the time this episode airs, still continuing, is a national and even international discussion on things like race, racism, and police brutality. Of course, with the death of George Floyd, sparked off a national outrage, and there's a lot of voices, there's a lot of noise right now, a lot of conversations going on. And we here at Three Guys Theologizing hope in a small way to not simply add to the noise and the confusion, but we hope to begin looking at some questions that I think arise in many of these conversations from a biblical perspective. So that is our goal today. So welcome, brothers. I'm glad that you're joining me for this discussion. I'm glad that I get to ask the questions and you get to answer them. I want to begin. There's been a lot of talk in society, and especially from the sphere of the church, that right now is a time where we need to mourn with those who mourn, and we, especially as Christians, need to very carefully listen to the discussions that are being had, and listen especially to our brothers and sisters of color, who themselves find themselves grieving in this time. Without getting too much into it, I'm just curious, are there some people that have helped you in the last several weeks in the midst of this societal discussion, some things maybe that you've read or listened to that you have found particularly helpful?
You know, for myself, I have, just being here in the Pittsburgh area, a number of friends in the African-American community, and so just having those relationships and listening to them helped me to process through some of these matters. I've also benefited from different articles that I've read or talks I've heard. Vadi Bakum is speaking out quite a bit on this issue. I've also benefited from an article Andrew Sandlin wrote. So those are some of the people that immediately come to mind, because I do think it's important not to just sit here and follow your Facebook feed or your Twitter feed and try to figure this out, because if you do, you're going to be awfully confused. But to process it, filter it through some of those who have good knowledge and have the ability to bring in philosophical, historical, biblical thought into this, so that we are processing carefully what we're encountering in our society at this time.
Yeah, and I, you know, again, I'm not the best read on public events, believe it or not. I deal with these issues though in a real time basis, and I have dealt with accusations of police brutality on minorities, even in my work. I have not talked to anybody. I've talked to law enforcement more than anybody, who, and to a person that I've talked to about this, they all lament what has happened, and they're all very upset by what happened to George Floyd. So I haven't gotten out into the African American community and read much there, but I have had interactions with law enforcement, which would probably give a different perspective on a lot of things. But that's where I've seen things, without exception, every single law enforcement officer and law enforcement person I've talked to, be it a detective or a policeman on the beat, they're all very upset with the treatment that George Floyd received and how that went down. So that's kind of my background in all of this.
Yeah, that's helpful. I think that's a good perspective. One that, of course, I'm not tuned in to all the conversations going on, but from what I've seen, that, Scott, is a fairly unique perspective. Not a lot of people are pausing to ask the perspective and the views of our law enforcement officers, of course. For my own part, in the past, I've been very helped, for instance, by Ismael Hernandez's book, Not Tragically Colored, Freedom, Personhood, and the Renewal of Black America. That was a pretty influential book in my own thinking, and I found to be very helpful. Lately, I resonate with what Barry said. Vodi Bakum has offered, I think, some helpful appraisal of some of the ideologies that are beneath the surface of our society and culture, which, you know, are not the only thing that's going on, but they're certainly present. And I find I found his talks to be helpful and discerning in how to gauge some of the current systems of thought. More particularly for me, there is a young man named Coleman Hughes, a graduate from Columbia University. I believe he's only 24 years old. I would put him on the left center in politics. And so he would obviously have a worldview and many views that I would find contrary to the Word of God and to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's not, from my understanding and from what I've listened to, he's not even trying to approach these things from a Christian perspective. But he does have some fascinating observations when it comes to things like racism and systemic racism. He's really challenged my thinking in ways that really actually questions the broader narrative. And even as I've become more and more acquainted with him, I've been seeing him getting quoted and used in more and more places. And then most recently, my good friend, and I think all of us, or at least two of us know him, Brian Schneider, the pastor of the Sharon Reformed Presbyterian Church, has a wonderful interview he just posted with three brothers that he did on Christianity and race. And that can be found on the Sharon RPC Facebook page. I found that to be tremendously helpful. So I do think it's important to be listening. But of course, biblically speaking, listening is not an end in and of itself. We're not just told, listen and let things end there, but we listen in order to understand, and we listen in order to bring every thought captive to Jesus Christ. So let's get into what I regard, you know, as a pastor and just as a person living in this culture. There are a number of questions that I see repetitively coming up in the broader discussion of what's going on. And I just want to spend some time together in this episode, maybe thinking about and discussing those questions together. And of course, the very first one is has to do with racism. And just to be fair, I think there are people who ask the question, is racism a real thing? And if it is, what is it? So how would you guys answer that question?
Well, certainly there is such a thing as racism. Our country proves that, as do most nations of the earth. You look around the world and you see in India a caste system based on some race as well as just social positions. I was in Northern Ireland a few times, and you see a conflict there between Protestants and Catholics that isn't necessarily race, but certainly a religious classification. So there's all around the world we see. Of course, we saw the things that happened in South Africa with apartheid and those types of issues. So all around the world, there are people who are treating one another differently based on their race, skin color, or other sociological factors. So it's there. We can't deny it. And its root, and I think this is where so much of our world doesn't really know where to go because so much of our world denies the reality of original sin, the inherent evil that's in every human heart. And so it's easy for different people to view others with suspicion or see them as inferior. And so I would define racism just on the spot. I haven't tried to put this all together in a real neatly tied bow of what racism is. But if I had to just say what it is, it's when one group of people look at another group of people as inferior to themselves and even beyond that with suspicion and with hatred. I think that's a simple definition of racism.
I was looking up a definition of racism while you were answering that question, and it's very similar to that. What I would say, and I'm going to use a different word, I think bigotry is very prevalent. And I mm-hmm. use the word bigotry because I think that gets more to the heart of the matter, where for one reason or another, a person hates or despises somebody who doesn't look the same, doesn't act the same, doesn't believe the same. Mm-hmm. And I think that bigotry is a part of racism, or maybe they're synonymous, but I would say that bigotry is prevalent, and whether we want to admit it or not, it is. And I've heard, I listened to things here and there, and I did hear a African-American man say, you've never had to worry what's going to happen to your son if a police officer pulls up behind them. And I got to thinking about that, and he's absolutely right. I haven't. So I think in that regard, there is, and I imagine you're going to go to systemic racism. I do think there is profiling that is done, without a doubt. And some would call that racism. And I don't want to go too far, but I do think that those types of things do exist. And for anybody to say they don't, has their head buried in the sand, as Kyle said.
I just read an article that Shy Lin, the Christian rapper, wrote, and he just opens up about his life experience, all the different times where, because he's simply black, he's been stopped, he's been pulled over. And that's just not uncommon. My friends in Pittsburgh tell me anecdotes of these types of things that have happened to them from their youth into their adulthood. And so that is, it's out there, and it's real. And we need to, and again, I agree with Kyle, we don't only need to listen, but it really begins with listening. And I recognize I have really needed to hear better my black brothers and some of the mm-hmm. things they go through, so they know how to respond. And if I'm going to respond and speak, then to know what to speak by first of all listening.
So yeah, so I'm hearing from both of you, and I think I would agree. Barry gave us a definition of racism. Scott moved it to bigotry. I would point out that personally, I think the biblical category that racism really falls under is the sin of partiality, mm-hmm. Which of course the scriptures speak very much against. You just need to think of James chapter 2. Partiality can express itself in a number of ways. James' specific context in James 2 is, you say to the rich man, sit here, you say to the poor man, here. And James says, haven't you made distinctions? This is sin. This is the sin of partiality. Mm-hmm. And I think racism is a subset of the sin of partiality. It is treating somebody partially on the basis of their skin color. Whether in whole or in part, it's using their skin color as a basis to be partial. And so from that angle, I don't know that I'd agree with every social definition of racism, but I think there is a biblical way to define racism, and I think that it's present. If I can go another, and I'm trying... I know that some of these questions might be a little prickly for some people, and I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to ask honest questions. Part of even listening is not just sitting there silent with your ears open. That is an important part, but a lot of people also listen and understand and process things through discussions. So I want to ask a question. I'm just throwing the question out there. How do we as Christians, how do we walk through, or let me put it this way, is there space, is there room for Christians to legitimately question someone's self-interpretation of their experience? And so, you know, there is a huge component of this, of sitting down with our friends who are not our same ethnicity and talking to them about their experiences. And there's a lot, Barry, you referenced the article by Shai Lin, and he has a great quote in there, something to the extent of, nothing is more hurtful than when you make a victim justify their pain. And there's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that. But racism is also a sin that exists in someone's heart. Is there space in discussions like this to legitimately question the way somebody might self-interpret an experience? Or do we just receive at face value the way that people interpret a particular experience?
I think this is where it's really important to ask questions and create dialogue so that you can understand what someone else is saying. To be honest, we've had a few incidents at the seminary where we have African-American students, and they've shared with me some of the things that they've experienced from a professor saying something to a fellow student, and we processed it together. In some cases, it was misunderstanding. They saw an incident as what would be defined as racist, when in actuality, no, this is just the way we treat any student. You could see it that way, but that's really not what's happening. But in other cases, it was clearly someone not being very sensitive to the fact of cultural differences and those types of things. So I do think it's really important not to just, because someone said they had an experience, we do this in other settings. Someone says, God told me this. Well, okay, let's talk about that a little bit and assess what you mean by telling me God said this. And if you can show me that this is scripture speaking to you somehow, then I'm going to buy it better than just a word that came down out of heaven to you alone. So we do need to ask people to assess their experiences through the lens of scripture, through dialogue with us, so that we can come to a better understanding of them. And it's not a one-way street, so that they can also better understand us as we're listening to them.
Yeah, I think that's really great. Context of people's lives, I think, are very important. We don't know the experiences that a person has gone through, and so they will react based upon the history that they've experienced. And I think a good example of this is, you guys know from the pulpit, when you say something wrong and your wife looks at you, right? I mean, have you had that happen? I mean, where you say something that you probably shouldn't have, and they can't hear you nod. Oh, yeah. Barry. but the point is, if I saw your wife make that face at you, I wouldn't know anything, because I don't have that history, that context. And so when you have African Americans experiencing something that we haven't, that we haven't seen, we don't know what they've experienced. I think it is really unjust for us to just brush it off as you're being overly sensitive and not, you know, that kind of poo-poo and brush it away. But I do think that dialogue is very important, and we need to understand where they're coming from. Like you said, Barry, at the seminary, sit down and talk to them and try to explain. Because I think another thing that we haven't talked about yet is, there are cultural differences, I think, between the African American community and what would generally be considered the white community. There are cultural differences that are not right or wrong. They're just different. And we say things different. We do things different. And those are not always recognized. We kind of miss, there are two ships passing in the night, because we don't understand the different cultures that we are in.
That's good. To go back to what Barry said too, just so we don't sound like we're targeting one thing, you know, this is something that as elders in the church, we've got to do all the time. Almost any issue of conflict and disagreement, you know, people are going to have an interpretation on an experience, and we need to, yes, we need to listen. We need to mourn with those who mourn. We need to struggle through this with them, but we also do we don't want experience to be the ultimate interpreter. We want scripture to be, and we need to bring all things to yield there. So, well, let me go to another question and one that you hear often, especially in Christian circles right now. And that is, what should we feel about Black Lives Matter? Of course, even in saying that, I think most of our listeners are probably aware there is, on the one hand, the slogan, Black Lives Matter. And on the other hand, there is what you might call the movement, the organization. I'm not 100% sure what they would call themselves. And these two are, well, they might be a little distinct, but there's also definitely a context of association between the slogan and the movement. So what would you get? How do we support it? Do we not support it? What do we think as Christians about that?
If I could just take one little step back, and then I'm going to come right back to your question. But
you may.
Well, it actually ties the last question and this one together. So when we do assess a situation, and we assess, for instance, the George Floyd incident, and we see enough evidence that this guy was not treated rightly, and it just has all the look of, it's not just that a man was killed under police custody, but it looks very much as if a white man treated a black man in a way that he wouldn't have done someone else. And we assess that situation, and we do see the evil of the situation. One of the things that I'm hearing my black friends say to me is, you need to speak out. You need to say something. And I hear them talking to the white evangelical church and saying, you guys are all the time crying out against things like abortion or pornography. You use a megaphone for that. But when it comes to racial issues, you might whisper about it. You don't talk about it. And so I think it's important for us to be having discussions like this and speaking out about these things when we see the evil of these actions against the black community. Now, how systemic it is, do you see this as just isolated incidents, or is this, you know, to use a buzzword, a pandemic in our society? We still have to do a lot of assessing, I think, and with respect to that, just like we need to do with Corona. But with respect to Black Lives Matter, I think this is where we need to be really careful, where valid concerns can begin to get misguided into a philosophical approach, a philosophical worldview that is not biblical, that's retributive, that's got vengeance tied into it, and can lead the church in an entirely wrong direction in speaking out against evil. So I really avoid the phrase Black Lives Matter. I just won't use it, because I don't find it overly helpful. And it is associated with this organization. It is their slogan. And I can't just throw that around, Black Lives Matter, and then not have that associated with the organization that's taken it on as its very name. So if you ask me, are Black Lives important? Do Black Lives Matter? Of course they do. They matter, and we need to care for them. But to just throw around the slogan, or really to be associated with this organization, I think we need to be really careful. You know, we all understand. I think we all understand, except for a very few people in our society, that to have anything to do with a slogan or the wear of anything associated with a Ku Klux Klan, we wouldn't do that because it's evil. Well, some of the things that this organization is promoting in their own statements are non-biblical, anti-biblical, and so we need to be really careful.
Barry, just to be clear, so in their own statements, you're, as many people, you're referencing what they put on their website, mm-hmm. Where they basically a destruction of the traditional family, transgender rights thing. Is that what you're talking about when you say that there are things?
Yes. So again, where we see in society, sometimes we talk about the church being co-belligerents. Like we may stand, for instance, some people stand with Catholics when it comes to the abortion issue. while they still decry their false doctrines. In this particular issue, I think you got to be more careful because there's evil statements in this, anti-biblical statements in this organization, and you just need to be very careful if you're going to have any kind of an association with them.
Thank you. That's helpful. I think it's helpful. So let me move on to another because we're quickly eating up our time here, and there's, of course, so many other questions. What about, can I ask this? What should we, you know, a phrase that we continue to hear in a lot of these discussions, kind of the boogeyman in the closet, is cultural Marxism. And somebody's probably going to ask for a definition, and I think it was Carl Truman who once observed, good luck. Good luck coming up with a succinct definition. Even Marxist scholars struggle to define Marx's economic theories, let alone this idea of cultural Marxism. But you hear that a lot. I think sometimes it's very blindly thrown out just as a conversation stopper, which I find fairly rude and really not helpful to honest discourse. But if we just step back and take a deep breath, should we be worried about cultural Marxism in this? Does that matter? Or do we just say, you know, it doesn't matter what the undercurrents are. Let's listen to the stories. Let's listen to the interpretations and the experience. Let's mourn with those who mourn. Should we be concerned about a philosophy like cultural Marxism?
You know, I've heard the term thrown around. I anything associated with Marxism, as far as I'm concerned, has a negative connotation to it. But it'll take me some time to really dig into what cultural Marxism even is. So give me a moment. I'll let Barry talk for a moment.
Well, my understanding is it's a movement where a class of people seek to use government power to basically get their way, to promote their causes. And I think we see it all over the place where different groups are trying to use political power to justify their cause, to raise their position in society. Often it's, you know, we did a number of episodes ago, we talked about when Bernie Sanders was still a candidate, his social democracy speak and all of that. And we were expressing concern where the use of government power to control, to influence society in order to raise up a certain class of people, it can sound, and especially to young people, it can sound like it's equity, it can sound like it's fairness, but in reality, it's often trying to raise one group up while at the same time oppressing another group. And true justice doesn't do that. True justice wants everyone to have opportunities, to have equity, to be able to be met with fairness and treated with fairness in society. And once we start legalizing one class of people having rights that others don't have in society, to me, that's really more of a Marxist philosophy rather than the principles that our own nation was built upon.
So would you say, Barry, that it's already in place, though? I'm springboarding off of giving one class of society rights that another class doesn't. I mean, that's clearly in place right now. I mean, there are protected classes by our government that have rights that others don't. Now, would you say that that's kind of where it sprung from, or you know?
Well, and we have to realize too that our country, even though it was founded, and this is what some of those on the other side of the aisle, so to speak, might say to us, that though our country was founded on the principles of equity, that of course the African Americans in society didn't have that. They were enslaved, and then even when they were freed from slavery, there still was many laws, Jim Crow laws, and those types of things in our society up until the Civil Rights era that kept them suppressed. So our whole nation's history has had this had this implementation of one section of society not really being treated rightly and fairly. Now, again, I would agree in our modern eras, there's been, in order to quote, correct that, sometimes it's an overcorrection and it's really not based on principles of true equity and justice.
That's helpful. Thank you. I think one of the things to note, and Scott, you're right, regardless of whether you're familiar with Marx's philosophy, basically everything associated with Marx should be rejected. You know, Marx does not come from a biblical anthropology. He is not grounding his system of beliefs in the Imago Dei, the image of God. Marx does not have a biblical theory of history. Marx does not have a biblical soteriology. Marx does not, you know, throw in all the other fun words. And I think that regardless, you know, whether or not cultural Marxism is always underlining every thought and every expression, we do need to take very seriously as Christians, as the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 2, empty philosophies really do take people captive. Not just left-wing philosophies, right-wing godless philosophies do that as well. Mm-hmm. And as Christians, we need to be guarded in all of that, to not be taken captive by empty philosophies, which are contrary to the Word of God. But in this specific case, I think cultural Marxism is against God, and as Christians, we need to be very wary of that. That's where I think Vodi Bakum is very helpful mm-hmm. in the lectures that Barry noted earlier. Well, gentlemen, we are basically run out of time here. We might even be a little over, but are there any final comments that you want to leave our listeners with before we wrap this up?
Well, I do think it's an age where the church has to find its voice, its prophetic voice again. I think that, to be honest, I think a lot of Reformed Christians are scared to speak in this situation because if I start speaking out against social matters, I've heard Reformed voices warning against the social gospel movement. There is that danger. There's always that danger. But of course, the key is that we've got to keep things centered on the Word of God. And as I especially think of the book of Isaiah, as this book that's just filled with Christ, it's filled with messianic prophecy and all that the Prince of Peace would bring to this world, it does go then forth and start addressing very clearly matters of justice in society. I won't use the word social justice, but about justice, true justice being exhibited in society. And so it is a time for the church to, we got to listen, especially us white reform guys. We need to listen, but we also then need to speak out with the hope of Christ in the midst of all this turmoil. The cultural Marxism is these riots that are taking place where people by force and looting and power, political power, think that they're going to change our nation. All that's going to do is add to further chaos to our land. Who really needs to be speaking right now are preachers. And it's interesting. I've had a number of guys just call me up, and I'm no expert on this. I'm the first one to admit it. But I've had guys
obviously
calling up. Yeah. I've had guys calling me up and just asking the question, should I address this? And I'm like, yes, you've got to address this. How could you be silent at a time like this? And it means you're going to have to dig in and research and again, go across some, walk across some bridges maybe you haven't walked across before and listen to some people you haven't listened to before, but you've got to listen. And as our pastor, as he addressed this past week, he says, you've got to enter into the fray. You got to go in and get a little messy. People are going to misunderstand you sometimes. You're going to probably say something not quite right, but just don't draw back in fear. We've got to walk by faith at this time.
Amen.
And I think going back to Isaiah, the hope that is always given is not in political restoration, but mm-hmm. in the coming Messiah. That was the hope of the people, was the coming Messiah. And as we progress down this difficult road that us white people have made, I mean, no doubt about that. We've kind of made our bed in a lot of these situations, but the answer is not going to be found in, there's not political salvation in this. There's salvation in Christ alone. And where there's forgiveness that needs to be given, that needs to be done in Christ, and where there's healing that needs to be done, that has to be done in Christ. I mean, this is a profound opportunity for us to take the gospel, the true gospel, and live it and apply it and share it and preach it. And, you know, so it is a challenge for sure in our society, but it's a great opportunity as well that we have to live our faith in a real open and honest way.
Yeah. In closing, you know, I preached on Isaiah 59 specifically to this last Lord's Day, and I was just struck, you know, the people lament justice is far from us and righteousness has not overtaken us. And then they go on to say, you know, we're crying out for justice, but we're like blind men and we're groping in the darkness and we can't find it. And then Isaiah says exactly what you're saying, Scott, the Lord saw the injustice, it displeased him, and then his own arm brought salvation. Mm-hmm. And that ultimately is the prophetic message of the church. God is rectifying injustice. He either does it by turning divine justice in the favor of the sinner, or he does it, as Isaiah says, when the Lord Jesus will don the armor of righteousness and he will come and he will not spare. And so that's a message that needs to be break through all the noise and all the volume in today's culture. The God of all the earth will do right. Well, with that, we come to the end of this episode of Three Guys Theologizing, obviously just scratching the surface on these topics, but we want to encourage you, after listening to this, go search the scriptures, see if the things that we say are true. We encourage that. Be discerning, even in the things that we speak. Don't take it for granted, especially whatever Barry says. Take with a grain of salt. But we do thank you. I don't actually mean that. But we do thank you for tuning in to this episode of Three Guys Theologizing. Head over to 3gt.xyz. Follow us on iTunes and leave us a review. Thanks for tuning in.